Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Pit.
Yeah, and a ham horn, and we have a new podcast available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on, man. Get it on. Welcome to Ace on the House.
Sir,
Eric
Stromer. You know what? I'm not great.
What's going on?
I woke up. The dog had paralysis of the rear hindquarters and couldn't get up.
No loving for you tonight.
No shit, Sherlock.
Man, that's rough.
Unless I get into the old rear end holster, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. What holds the dog?
About 12. So what do you know about the animals? Do you know? Could we turn this into a pet show for one quick moment?
You know, I know that there is no such thing as you speaking about an animal without somebody saying, my dog had the same thing, or some story about when they put their dog down.
That's right.
It's a weird thing. There's no such thing as you going, I'm pretty bummed out. I put my dog down 2 days ago without that other individual saying, well, Rusty, when did we put Rusty down? Oh, it would have been 3 years this Wednesday.
Right.
Be 3 years since we had to put Rusty
down.
Right. It's a weird human thing. Like somebody can't share their grief. They have to just explain what
happened
to their dog.
That's correct. Now the other thing, the truck died as well.
The truck died. That's sad.
Now that's sad.
Yeah.
No loving.
And
no,
a dog can
no
be
loving
fixed,
tonight.
But, oh, no, wait a minute. Well, yeah, fixed. Yeah, like neutered, spayed.
Right.
But a truck.
The truck's dead, and it's a hybrid pickup. I got a GMC hybrid pickup. It died. The digital code said, because I've got one of those little readers, which I find handy.
Readers like an app?
You know, you plug it in.
Oh, yeah.
And then it kind of diagnoses your issue.
Tool.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much every electrical possibility in the history of the world.
How many miles are on that?
177,000 miles. But that truck was a gift from the folks at GMC, and I don't think they're going to come back and give me another one.
I got to say, as my wife is getting ready to turn in her Tesla for a Tesla X.
Ooh.
One rich guy feature I much appreciate is just the driving around a car for 3 years, handing it off and getting another new car and not exactly being sure how much money it costs, but maybe it's a write-off, but I don't care. Back in the day when I used to get these trucks and you just had to drive them into the ground, you know, and it was a constant tweaking and going. I mean, I don't know if anyone has ever experienced the majesty of going to like Pick Apart in Sunland, like in the summertime.
I got a gas tank.
And would it be like, so I have, you know, I have the 79 Datsun long bed standard cab pickup truck and the starter's taking a dump. So I could go down to Chief Auto Parts or Pep Boys and buy a new one for $89. Or I could go down to Sunland.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is like going down to Tijuana.
Yep.
And I could bring my own tools.
Yep.
And I could scavenge through a yard of just destroyed. By the way, nothing more depressing than the auto salvage yard, because you'll see a car with like the whole front end gone and like a baby seat in the back with a bumper through it, and you're like, no way did anyone survive this.
Yeah.
No way.
But I will take the starter.
That family of four did not survive this.
Right.
And then you have to do some math. Like they do the the starter they use, so yours was an L20, so, or was it an L18? Well, they use an L20 and a Sentra too. So
right.
You could use a starter off the Sentra as well as finding another truck. And then you'd crawl around under the trucks and
right.
pull starters off. And it was that, think about this. When's the last time you saw the soil, which was just completely emulsified with motor oil and transmission oil and everything else? So it almost became asphalt, but it had a weird smell to it.
That's right. Yeah.
You crawl around on that, you get it out. You pull your part off, and then you'd go to the diciest dude in the world who
right.
was like in the shack.
Yeah, the gypsy man.
That's where they kept the good stereo stuff. Like yeah. they wouldn't let a Blaupunkt get back there. No way.
No.
And you'd go up to that guy and you'd like barter with that guy. And when it was all said and done,
between gas and your time,
you'd pay $51.50 or $51.75 for this starter.
Yeah.
You could have got for $89 with, well, you'd have to turn in the core
yeah.
of the old starter.
That's right.
And then you could get the rebuilt starter from Pep Boys for $89 with a warranty. Now, the starter you got off the car at Pick Apart, you could then go home, bolt up that starter, and find out the starter didn't work.
Correct.
Which has happened
a time or two. And I will say that it is, though, and I had the exact experience. I went and I got a gas tank for a 67 Nova, replaced it, and came back to and my mom was with me because it was out like a spring break thing she was visiting, and it was the probably the most proud I've ever been of my own mechanical ability.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave me the memory that, you know what, I could really do this if I really applied myself.
Right.
But in reality, it's a big waste of time.
I have literally thousands of hours into said these aforementioned projects
right.
of just going down. I tried to put in an air rebuild the air conditioning system on a Supra that had 200 million miles on it, and it was literally a multi-day, multi-thousand dollars of, like, it was an odyssey.
Yeah.
I couldn't describe it as anything more than an insane odyssey. And I did many, many of those days. And so here's the question. At first glance, you go, well, Jesus, you wasted a large portion of your life.
Right.
Like, it was literally, these were literally like somebody saying, walk in a circle this day, all day, and then give me $40, and then we'll see what we'll do tomorrow.
Right.
And you'd go, well, that's a waste. And then especially,
but when you're in it, it feels like you're in the probably the most in the zone and in the moment you've ever been in, because you're single-minded, obsessed to
yes,
make it work.
Your single-minded obsession was saving $22,
right.
even if it's going to use up 18 of
That's
your
right.
own hours.
Right.
And and also, when you think, now the thing that's weird for me is, so now I make documentaries and write books and do one-man shows and stuff like that. So it seems like an even bigger misuse of my time, because if you said, Gary Shandling, what did he do when he was 28? He just went down to Pick Apart in Sunland and hung out all day. And he'd be like, I want that guy writing jokes.
Right, right.
He should be doing social commentary,
that's
not
right.
hanging out with illegals at Pick Apart. Seems like a bigger yeah. waste of my time.
Right.
But
there's something in it, isn't there?
Well, I got something that other people don't seem to have.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know exactly what it is, but my son will not have an ounce of whatever this is.
This is called Spilkus.
Spilkus. He'll have Bupkus, but he won't have Spilkus.
That's right.
And I don't know. I wasted an entire decade of my life doing super low rent. Like when you go to the home store, the Home Depot or whatever, and you see all the Mexican guys just sitting around smoking cigarettes, playing yeah. cards, and just waiting to jump in the back of a pickup truck.
And do that whistle that they can
whistle. Yeah, they all can whistle. And you pass those guys, and yeah. you go, man, I feel sorry for those guys. They're right. like, what a waste of, you know, I'm going to go take a spinning class, and then I'm going to pick up my kids, and
right.
then I'm
going to
go volunteer.
The juice
I'm going to juice, and then I'm going to read a bunch of stuff online about Trump
right.
and all that. Those guys, that was my life.
Yeah.
It was no better.
That's right.
There was no, it was not, well, yeah, but then at night I would teach my, do my TED Talks.
Yeah.
No, there was none. Yeah. It was just whatever those guys, whatever you think of those guys,
yeah.
whatever you think they do all day,
that's
however
right.
they, whatever their day consists of, there, that was a complete lateral move.
It was one paycheck away, right? From
when I was 25, that was my life.
Right.
It was no better or worse. It was,
but this is why you're qualified to speak to a mass audience. You've had both sides of
that's
life,
right,
right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. I'll tell you what. We got a call up there about a shower diverter. Also, a specialty within the field.
Ooh, that's
of
a big. That's a big question.
Let's do that.
Let's get into that. Yeah, that's Illinois, my home state.
Jamie?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, man?
Not much. Good to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Thank you.
Glad to hear you guys kick Ray out. I want to say that.
Yeah, me too. I enjoy Stromer so much. I got to say.
It's feeling mutual.
It's a delight.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
But at any rate, so I started a business last year. And all of last year, I found myself, you know, one day I was painting, the next day I'd be doing siding, the next day I'm, you know, doing whatever. So I'm all over the map.
Yeah.
Do a lot of carpentry work. I started framing when I was in high school, did that for quite a few years. But anyways, trying to figure out how do I narrow myself down, or do I, because I love doing everything, but... You know, when you're unloading the truck with everything from siding from the day before, and then you got to reload the truck with all the stuff to go do a drywall repair the next day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've given this much consideration.
Yeah, I have something to say, too. Go for it.
So I actually had this conversation with Tom Johnson, my boss, when I was working out at an industrial park in Chatsworth a million years ago. He was basically a general contractor, and I was his only employee. And he was
I've worked for those guys.
He was a nice enough guy. And he had one unit in the very back of an industrial park that I think his dad built or developed or something like that. And you know, we would be up in Simi Valley doing an addition on some folks' house, you know, just adding a room onto the side of their track home back when, you know, Simi Valley, all track homes. Think E.T. when they're driving.
That's
on.
Right.
That's what it was.
That's the neighborhood. Yeah.
That's the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then the next week, we'd be working on a shipping box, and we would be building trade show booths.
Okay.
You know, that'd be laminated and lightweight and modular and have blind nuts all around them and come apart and then be packed up in a box and then shipped without being damaged and then whatever. And like, I remember us we'd be sitting around like going, well, how do you make a trade booth? I mean, it should be light. Well, maybe we'll make it out of pine, one by, and we'll skin it with Luan, and then we'll lay up whatever, well, we can't use Cortron or melamine. It's got to be light, you know. We'll put some Wilson Art laminate on it or something. And I remember at a certain point, I just said to Tom, we can't make money if we go to a new and different project every single week. Because we can never bid it, and we can never figure it out. We don't really have the tools for it. We're not really set up for it, really. You know. We got to do something and do it well and do it early and often and get good at it. And I always used to kind of think about Michael Jackson. I was like, that is the most useless fuck on the planet, but he does one thing. And he gets paid really well. This, of course, is when he was alive.
Yeah.
And he gets paid super well, and then he pays everyone else to do everything else.
Right.
Whereas I'm going down to pick apart and getting a starter, and then we're working on this trade booth,
right.
And then we're going up to the Weinstein's house up in Simi Valley and putting an addition on the thing. I'm doing everything.
Right.
Stop doing everything. Figure out one thing. So that the premise is good. I like the premise. Now we try to figure out what the thing is. And the thing, couple things. You want to do a thing that your clients are intimidated of and don't think they could handle.
Correct.
So this is why I started off as a painter and immediately got out of painting. Because painting worked this way, I found. Like they'd go, give me an estimate on the dining room and the kitchen. And you'd come in and you'd go, $975. And I go, oh, hell, I'll get the retarded neighbor kid to do it when he comes home from a special school.
Not a specialty,
like,
right.
Right. I'll get him to do it for like something shiny.
We can tape the brushes to his crippled limbs.
Yeah, yeah. Let Timmy do it. And it's just like, well, he's not a professional. Oh, hell, I'll do it myself then.
Yeah, like, okay, that's right.
You don't want that. Because I realized later when I was hanging like a clear oak, stained grade custom front door that weighed 275 pounds, and I would tell them how much to hang the door and do all the hardware and mortising and everything like that. They just write you a check because they didn't go, I'll get the kid next door to hang this door.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Right.
So I like things like door hanging because it's finish work.
By the way, I just said to a friend of mine, do you have somebody that hangs doors? I said to him, that is the single most important and unique trade. So you got to get this one guy who charges a premium price because it's specialty. You're right. It's it's mystical. Like, how do you do that, right?
Well, it's also super easy to screw up.
Right.
Very easy to screw up. It's not, as a guy who's hung a ton of doors, it is not really that difficult. The thing is you have to commit to a couple of tools.
Right.
You need that Porter cable router, not the stupid double
plastic
blade.
One. The plastic
chunk,
one.
Chunk,
yeah.
Chunk.
Yeah, yeah.
You need the one with the twisted cutting bit on it.
Right.
And the big long side rail that you can adjust and put some 3 degrees or 4 degrees of bevel on each side. You need one of those jigs for doing the mortising.
Yeah,
you need lots of jigs.
Yeah, not the plastic template.
I just bought all this stuff, too. I haven't got the – and you're freaking me out here because the router I just bought, I haven't even got it yet. But I bought a mini cordless one because I got to go mortise some latch plates in for a guy. And I'm so worried now because I bought the mini router and you're saying – this is not going to...
No,
you know,
the routers... Look, hey, let me say something about routers. It's going to be controversial. That people get the big, like, 3-horsepower plunge router with the half-inch chuck and stuff like that. Screw that. I get the router trimmer. Little Porter cable router trimmer, whoever router trimmer, right? Things the size of a Coke can, right?
Right.
I do 90% of my routing with that.
With that little handle.
Yeah. If you ever got a mill, you know, 3,000 linear feet of baseboard, then go get a big router and a router table. But if you're just mortising out a strike plate or something on a door jam, why you got that big handful?
Yeah, controllability is essential.
Yeah, you work it.
I
you work it. You see it.
It works with all my rigid batteries.
Yeah.
So it was kind of sold itself to me.
Yeah, but the question is, what kind of planer do you have?
Ooh.
I don't have a planer. Are you talking like a handheld planer? Or,
yeah. Well, you're not gonna do doors without a good planer, because people think. Well, first off, I don't know how you get a bevel on a door. Don't get near it with a belt sander or a circular saw. Yeah. That's a goddamn hack. That's like taking a machete to it, you know. Yeah. You got to get
ruined many a door with a belt sander.
You got to get a good – it's a disaster.
It is.
Nobody's that skilled that you can do it. You have to get the – Matt, find me the Porter Cable it's Porter it's made by two companies, but anyway, just – it's the Porter Cable –
That's a planer,
door planer. No, sorry, that's a benchtop one. This would put the word door, I think, would be in there. It's like $450, but it's
here. It's got that rotating multiple blade on.
So
it, right?
Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
all the other planers. Oh, it's $250. Not too shabby. Blasted up there. They've gone down in price, man. Now hold on, what? Do something better than what you're doing, Gary or Matt. Gotta get bigger or something on it, or just sort it out, and then we'll figure it out. But it's got a guide on it, like a speed skater skate, real long, right? And you can adjust the bevel on it.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Okay,
one. Oh, wow.
And the blade. Isn't a barrel.
That's like, the one I've used, barrel blade.
So
one, yeah.
the thing with the Makita is a barrel and has two cutting blades on it.
Yeah.
All right, that gets a chunk.
Right.
This is a twisted blade, the cutting blade on this thing, probably like a 3/4-inch boring blade, like a drill bit on its side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally smooth. Mm-hmm. You can adjust the back for depth. So you can adjust it. I think it goes from like 0 to 5
but
or something like
that. But it's a constant cutting surface.
It's a constant cutting surface. And what you can do is you can set your bevel. Gary, look up door edge bevel and degree. I probably set it for like 3 or 4 degrees, right? Obviously, you can go either direction. And then set your depth on it light at the first. Like just put it to 1 and just push through it. And you'll see that it'll just cut on the low part of the degree a little bit. And then you'll go back and you'll go, I'm going to crank it up a little bit to 2 or 2.5. And
so
you'll feel a lot more cut in it. And it's the only way you can really professionally hang doors.
Right.
You need not a plane. The stupid Makita is a planer, and it gives you a front attachment, a guide attachment, and then it has a weird bevel block you can screw to it, but you can't adjust it or anything. There it is, Stromer.
Oh, is it weird? Is it weird that I'm a little aroused in this conversation?
Marvel.
That's strange.
2 to 3
Look
degrees is the bevel on that bad boy.
Looks like a shark almost.
It's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It's beautiful. It's majestic. It's majestic.
I might get my fourth and final baby going tonight from looking at that thing.
Yeah, now it's figured out that.
Have we decided though on? Because can I interject on my idea of a trade?
Oh yeah, acoustic ceilings. Sorry, sorry to 20 minutes on door hang.
No, I wanted to say to you, if you have an interest in having this career go until you're in your 60s. Then you're going to not want to do something where you've got to lift and move, and you know doors can get heavy. I think the electrician route, if you have an assistant that will crawl under in the suit in the attics and under
but
the crawl
Jamie's
space.
He's not an electrician. Yeah, he's not half an electrician right now.
Those guys, that's a beautiful billing cycle. They leave their shit all over the floor.
But
they don't clean up.
It's true. Right? He's construction.
Yeah.
See, I like the door because when somebody's front door, especially, is on the fritz, that's what's between them
and the bad man,
marauding bikers, and they will pay a premium. Like if you go, like Geez, I hope I can get it done by tonight, but I might have. Oh, no, no. Don't come back tomorrow morning.
Darkness brings evil.
Yeah, just stay. Whatever. I'll make you a pot roast. Like, just stay. I'll pay you. Well, we got to get that deadbolt working before
and
you
those
slip.
Guys make, here they're $650 a door, I think, to $650 to $800, I think, just to put a door.
Wow. Like,
yeah. It's great money.
I have no idea. Yeah. The one thing I don't really farm out is the door hanging.
Yeah.
I do. I'll tell you the best. The best is door hanging with an assistant.
Yeah. So you got to have like a young guy.
Yeah, you got the solid core door, and you go, bring that thing out in the front. You make yourself one of those kickstands.
Yep.
You make a T with a kind of wedgy thing, and you put it up, and you drop the door in on its edge. So you need a door stand.
That's great.
And so to use the planer on it.
Yeah.
Also, when you undercut a door, always scribe it. Always put a straight edge on it and take a razor to it.
Because then it won't fray when you cut.
What'll happen is the two side rails will fray, and then the bottom rail does run the right direction.
Oh, yeah.
See, okay. Feel me? Not a slab door, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you'll get the fray on the last 6 inches of the two, and then it'll cut like that. So always score it.
Good call.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
I don't think I'm going to be recognized fully in my lifetime, but one day. One day. For my versatility. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many comedians could hang a door?
Not many.
You think Ross is the guy or Doug Benson? He's the guy you want when you have to swing a door? I would reckon that Jeff Ross and Doug Benson would be, if somebody said, would you rather hang a door, attempt to hang a door alone or with Jeff Ross? You just go, I think I'd take my chances alone.
Well, you know, some say Henny Youngman was one of the best window installers in the business.
I had heard. Nobody did flashing
like
Henny Youngman. Yeah. God, what was that?
Who's the other guy that said hello there? What was his name?
I don't know, there was an American Indian comedian.
Oh, you're talking about Chief Dan George? No.
I don't know, but he would start every act with, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? I remember him. Joey
Heatherton.
That's right.
You figure that out. I'll tell you about Sisocraft flashing.
Nobody hung Sisocraft
like Henny Youngman. All right. He'd always admonish the guys. He'd be like, put the two side ones up first, then the top one so it overlaps. Right?
Charlie Hill.
That's him. Hello there.
He's the hello there guy?
No, he's the hi, how are you?
Correct.
Charlie Hill. Was he even Indian?
Who said hello there?
He sure looks Indian.
I'll tell you who said it.
Charlie Hill. All right, looking for that. I'll tell you about Simply Safe. I've worked with these guys since they've had just 10 employees. Now they're protecting over 2 million people. Love these guys. Exciting news. They just released their brand new home security system, the all new Simply Safe. I got it. I put it up. It looks beautiful. It works beautiful. It is smaller. It's faster. It's stronger than ever before. Completely rebuilt, redesigned with new safeguards against power outages, down Wi-Fi, cut landlines, bats, hammers, you name it. It's the first security system I actually called beautiful. And we're just talking about crawling around in the underpinnings of the house and up in the attic with the dead rats and everything. You don't have to do that with Simply Safe. Peel and stick. They got the 3M tape. Stuff is, it's aerodynamic. It's effective. It's smooth. It's beautiful. And the batteries last up to 10 years. You're like, how could it be wireless? Well, batteries last up to 10 years. You get 24/7 protection for just $15 a month. No contracts. And supplies are limited. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam. Simplysafe.com/Adam. Did you find out the
Marty
guy?
Marty Allen.
Marty
the
Allen.
The great Marty Allen. Hello there, he said.
Let me tell you about Marty Allen. Marty Allen may have had the craziest hair.
Yes,
ever.
That's right.
If you guys Google image search Marty Allen, not on his deathbed, Gary.
No. Nope.
Slow your roll.
Yeah.
Marty Allen, in his prime, he had the craziest.
Big afro, sort of. Almost
Jew,
like the
ultimate Jew-fro.
Like dreads, almost. Like the basketball players have those high dreads. Now, it looked like that.
The ultimate Jew-fro. That's okay. Right. Closet is closet.
There he is. That's almost Don King height, isn't it? Look at that.
That is the Jew. Who's going to out-Jew-fro Marty Allen?
Not anyone.
Nobody can out
except the guy from Mod Squad,
Link.
That's the one.
But he didn't have a Jufro. All right, let's see. Down at the bottom here. Hey, Tom, 50, New Jersey.
Good evening or afternoon. I don't know where you guys are from. California, right?
Yeah, man. Yes, what's going
Howdy.
On? Howdy.
Howdy. Hello. I have a, Sorry about that. I have a Moen cartridge in a shower diverter that I cannot extract. I was wondering if I can get in.
Even with the needle nose, you can't get in there and dig it out?
I bought a puller for it, and I still can't pull it, get it to budge with the puller. I've actually pulled the pipe out of the, off the, I guess it was strapped in off on the 2x4. I separated the pipe from the 2x4, and I pulled out the diverter that spouts the water into the tub. That's how much I was pulling.
Is it copper piping?
Copper pipe.
Okay.
Ozzy valve, Moen.
Yeah. This is Stromer's field of expertise.
Yeah, so you're trying to get the diverter out of the valve.
The cartridge out.
Yeah, the cartridge.
Yes.
Man, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm gonna ask the question. This is one of those homeowners versions.
This is almost
like when the doctor goes, "Do you have your affairs in order? What's behind the valve?
Yeah.
Is there a closet behind? Whenever you go, what's behind the valve? Means
We're going in.
Where is
a closet behind the valve?
Yeah, well, I think we're going in.
That's good.
Just get it out. Get it out and do it again.
Is a closet is good, right? You pull some drywall out of there. What year's the house?
2004, so 14 years.
Okay,
and
we just bought it, and the home inspector douche missed it.
Yeah,
I didn't discover it until the day we moved in.
Here's what I would do: I would take everything apart that you can, the plate off the wall, everything out. If you can access it, take a picture of it, take it to the plumbing supply store. Ask the guy there if he has that same diverter. Then you guys discuss that at the desk with each other, looking at the diverter there. And if it comes out easily there, great. If it doesn't, we're going in the backside. We're taking the valve. We're doing it again.
Cutting the pipe and replacing everything.
That's right. It's good that you have access from the other side, though. That's a really huge thing.
Yeah, because it's in a closet. It's not like what's on the other side. It's a marble fireplace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, with gold inlay. Yeah.
Right. So that's good.
It's a Batch Elder fireplace.
Oh, right. I was just dreaming about my
that's
Batch
good
Elder
stuff.
Fireplace.
Yeah.
God, that was so good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you know basic plumbing and soldering and stuff, or is this something you want to bring someone in to do for you?
I know plumbing, but not too good on the soldering.
Okay. So I would just bring a guy, and if you can save a little bit of dough by demoing it, opening it up, make it nice and clean, so it's easy to repair with your drywall on the other end of it, and let the guy come in and just do the plumbing and not the demo part.
It's funny that you bring a Batch Elder tile because Dr. Bruce just popped on line one, and Dr. Bruce is the guy who turned me on to Batch Elder tile, I do believe.
I'm told he just dropped.
Oh, okay.
We'll try to get him back on the line.
Have you ever been out to the museum in Malibu that has the tile, beautiful tile installation right across from the Country Mart there?
It's
beautiful tile.
Yeah, I think I attended a wedding there.
Yeah, that's
once.
Right. Yeah.
But I lived in a Batch Elder tile museum. I had a great Batch Elder tile fireplace with me in the first house I built, and then I took it with me when I left.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like forensically disassembled it, or how'd you do it?
Yeah, it was this crazy thing where I lived in this French Normandy style house from 1923.
Yeah. And by the way, that tile was probably like their version of doll tile at the time when they were building that house, right?
Yes. And when I moved into the house, not moved in, when I bought the house, which was a total wreck, I mean, just really like, it wasn't like, we'll do a kitchen remod. Like, it was here's how bad it was. At the height of how bad it was, Jimmy came over for lunch, to go to lunch, and he just like came up, like I said, just come get me and then we'll go to lunch. And he came and got me, and he just sort of looked around and he went, "Wouldn't it be easier just to tear it all down?" And I remember going thinking, I remember like being really depressed about it, but I remember thinking, no, it wouldn't be easier to tear the whole house down, but maybe it would have been. I mean, that's how much work it took. There's a picture. That's probably a picture of the fireplace somewhere. It's back at the other house. So right. I was selling that house, and I was living in an old 1929 Spanish style house that had a bad fireplace from the 70s, probably after an earthquake or something. They just blew everything out.
Right. And separated from the wall. Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I was like, I'm selling that house. I wonder if I could take my fireplace with me. And I got hold of Ray, and we got grinders and diamond blades and everything else, and we completely cut out every single tile.
And then did you cut the mortar off the back of
each
tile?
Clean the back of every single
one
off.
And you got all of them without breaking any of them, or did you break a couple?
There's a picture of.
I'm not sure. Are you talking about
the other house?
Lake Hollywood?
That's another house. Yeah, that's another. I put it in another house. But anyway, I don't know if I have a picture before, but I have pictures of me.
But you got enough. You got enough to make a new fireplace.
Yeah, I got enough to make a new fireplace.
That's beautiful, man.
The one on the left is not right, Gary. Sorry, but I made. Yeah. I figured it out. We figured it out. And then I went and put it in the new house.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's nice being able to do stuff.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And it was funny because when I was setting the tile on a Saturday, and Lynette walked in to the front way, and she looked at me and she went like, okay, enough with the fireplace already. She walked in the next room, which totally gratifying. Satisfying. It was a satisfying feeling. Hey, Bruce?
Yeah.
Hey, you're the one who got me the Batchelder book, right?
Yeah.
Did you give me that initial LA Times article on Batchelder?
I gave you one. I don't know if it was before the book, but at some point.
Yeah, you gave me an article. Dr. Bruce was sort of responsible for going. So that when I bought the house up in the Hollywood Hills,
right.
It had a Batchelder fireplace with 25 coats of white Sears Easy Living paint over it.
I like Easy Living apostrophe.
And I had no idea what was even underneath it. But right. At some point, I got out the Jasco and the toothbrush and the hair dryer. I just had my guys go at it.
Yeah.
And they pulled it all off, and it was perfectly preserved.
Wow. Yeah. And Dr. Bruce, what was your original interest in the Batchelder? Why were you attracted to it?
I like Catalina tile, and then I stumbled upon, I think, well, Adam actually alerted me to the Batchelder, and then I started looking into it, and, you know, I live out in Redlands, and there's a lot of that era housing, and you just find out people are whacking out their fireplaces, and they have no idea what's under there.
Right.
And I remember when Adam and Ray whacked out that thing, put it back together, it was just amazing, so... And I continue to look for Batchelder tile. I bought one tiny tile on eBay. It was like $50. They're just, you know, it's now I think there's a lot of recognition of the beauty and quality of those.
And was
those
it was it a fa- it was a factory or an era that created it, or is it sort of a decade in the 20s? And
Batchelder was like some artisan tile maker
in
Pasadena.
Pasadena.
Made
okay.
These tiles in the teens and probably
right.
early 20s.
So all the craftsmen have Batchelder in them, I
yes,
would assume.
Yes, craftsman style yeah, houses, right. Yes. Bruce.
Yeah.
God love Bruce. You know what I like about Bruce? You tell Bruce something, Bruce becomes interested in it,
right.
And then he goes and researches it, whereas... I've said this all the time. If people aren't curious, I don't know what use I have for them. Like, they're not going
right.
to – we talk about education all the time. It's always like, what about the kids? What about their education? And I've always just said, if they're not curious, they're screwed.
Right.
If they're not curious, then fuck them. They're not going to do anything. You have to go, what is this? Who is this guy? I want to know more.
Right.
Versus, I don't know. Leave me alone, dude. Like, I'm drinking a Mountain Dew. Bruce has curiosity.
Well, are you a real Dr. Bruce?
Some people would assert that. I don't know if all my patients would, but I have a license to practice medicine.
Curiosity. See,
he works on the front lines, man. He's emergency.
ER and, so
So, Adam, I got to do a lecture on marijuana at noon for doctors. What would you tell them?
let's not be a buzzkill. Let's not be Dr. Buzzkill. I here's my feeling with marijuana. I mean, here's what I would say. My overall marijuana gestalt. You know what's funny? We had a marijuana conversation with Sonny last night.
Your son.
Huh? Yeah, literally last night, somehow Lynette and I got on to this marijuana discussion with Sonny. And I'm not worried about him doing drugs per se, but somehow we just decided that was, and he seemed sort of bothered by it because he didn't seem to have any intention of doing drugs. But my feeling with marijuana is this. People go, well, what, you know, so what? Somebody has a little marijuana at night before they go to bed and you have a glass of wine at night. You know, what's the difference? Well, the difference is I never have a glass of wine in the morning or in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I have a glass of wine at night, like long after everything is done. And the problem with marijuana is it kind of becomes a lifestyle for a right. lot of people. And we basically, you know, they create an entire Rastafarian religion about it. Like, it's like guys turn it. It's like, well, I never want my kid to smoke pot and I never want him to surf. Surfing is not a sport. Surfing is a lifestyle, right. And every guy I work construction with, it'd be like, where's Garrett today? Surf's up. He's gone. Yeah. Like, he's not here. Yeah. Because a swell has come in from Hawaii, and of course, he's not showing up to work. He can't be here. Yeah. He's got to right. be out in a polluted pool out in the Santa Monica Bay.
Right.
So the thing about pot is it got demonized, you know, with this Reefer Madness stuff, and then it got glorified by, you know, half the Hollywood community. It is some sort of like some sort of political movement, like some progressive political movement. The reality is it alters you.
Right.
The more time you spend altered, the less time you spend being, you know, being effective at being anything, you know, and it does, obviously, if you're altered, we don't want a bunch of people altered out there driving automobiles right. and stuff like that.
Right.
So my thing with pot is same rules with booze. I would not want my kid drinking at 17. I wouldn't want my kid smoking pot at 17.
Right.
When they're a little bit older and the cement in their brain has dried and they can make decisions as an adult, I would then choose that they have a healthy relationship, which is not binge drinking to the point where they had to go into rehab, but hey, if there's a party, I can enjoy myself and I'll Uber home. But then Monday morning, it's time to get up and go to work, and right. booze isn't part of that equation.
Yeah,
it's very astute. I was just, when I was doing my research, I got the Loveline episode with Snoop when you christened yourself Mayonnaise.
Yeah,
and I got stoned from passive inhalation of smoke from his cigar sized joint.
Well, you know, the thing that's kind of interesting is it's smart because Snoop wants to be high all the time. So instead of presenting it as I'd like to be altered all the time, you present it as this is a cultural lifestyle decision I made and no one will say anything to him. You know what I mean?
And also, after a while, the desensitization from doing pot all the time makes it so Snoop probably really isn't even high all the time anymore. It's just...
Yes.
It's become his normal way of existing.
Yeah, that's the same with abusing Percocet.
Right, right.
You know. Thanks, Dr. Bruce.
Sorry for the buzzkill.
No
worries. We got to talk about my M5 that I just got completely revamped, Adam. I know you hate hearing about it, but that's
my
other obsession.
BMW M5 for...
E39.
Yeah, the second generation for $5,000?
$9,000, how dare you?
$9,000, but I told you, you should have got a nice one for $18,000. Hey, I had an M-Series BMW M-Thought last night.
Uh-huh.
I was watching. Now, I'm going to give a little homework, which is not really homework. It's more like do it now work to Matt and Gary. The color palette for the color What they run, so I was watching, so Judd Apatow sent me the two-part HBO Gary Shandling documentary. He just contacted me sort of out of the blue a couple days ago, and he said, hey, did I ever send you the Shandling thing? And I just said, no, and he just went, here it is. Don't show it to anybody. So he sent it to me. I don't know when it's coming out, but it'll come out on HBO. And I was looking at the color. So it's a, it, I don't know if it's a rough, it's not a rough cut, but it had like the color correction bar on the front, like and it starts it on the left. It's like gray, and on the right gets blue and red and purple or whatever.
March 26th and 27th, it appears on HBO.
Okay. And I looked at it, and I was looking to the right of the color bar. They just put it on the front so the projectionist or whatever can make sure that their hues are right or their tones are right, whatever. I looked to the right, and I said, wait a minute, that's the BMW M
color.
Color.
Yeah, I know that. The blue.
The blue, the red, and the purple next to each other.
I know
other.
That blue, yeah.
And I thought to myself, I wondered aloud a week ago, and I've always wondered aloud, how did they come up with those, with that combination? The M color badging is a weird color combination. Right. It's like a weird light blue and then a purple and then a deep red. And I thought, where, and I've always wondered my entire life as a BMW M fan, who put those colors together? And then I looked at this color bar last night and I paused it and I went, I think those are the colors.
Do you think who took it from who?
I would assume BMW took it from the color. I assume those color bars are just some sort of
gradient,
scientific gradient thing where they have to have 11 different shades and you have to make sure that it matches before whatever. Gary and Matt will look at it. I could be off. I literally just was sitting around last night and I just went, well, that's BMW. But I could be completely wrong. I have no idea.
What was your M3 blue? What was that?
What color was what?
Yeah, there was...
My M3 was a midnight blue. It was called Schwartz or whatever. What is black?
That was a very desirable color. That was a good color for that year.
I completely agree, and I got the moonroof delete. All right, Dr. Spaz.
Okay.
Thank you. And let me tell you, now a word from our sponsor. That's right. Flap, Pustule, Jowls, Nugget, Gurgle, Smear, Curd. I said curd. Bulbous, tender, dongle, pork, moist. Whether you're a construction worker, warehouse worker, or podcast host, hearing certain words on the job site can make work uncomfortable. So let's get the work gear that's comfortable. Timberland Pro. Man, these boots are good. Timberland Pro. Work shirts, pants, boots, they make it all. Head to toe, Timberland Pro. Not uncomfortable. All right, let's see. We got another call up there. Any, Gary, is this making sense to you?
Yes.
You'll look.
I'm going about this in a methodical way, but the first thing I found is that the blue was taken from the Bavarian flag.
Ooh.
This is in the BMW logo.
Mm-hmm.
And the third stripe, which represents a partnership BMW had with Texaco in the early racing days. So the red was from the Texaco logo.
Right. But then when you look at that color bar, which you have to find, I guess it's a standard color bar. I think you're going to see the same three colors next to each other, which would just be a crazy coincidence at this point.
Yes. What I will say that I've learned so far that's leaning me towards that solution is that the colors for the M logo were not developed until 72, and I would imagine that color bar goes back further, but I'm going to further investigate.
I don't know if they're in the right order even. I just remember seeing three colors.
And you
that
think
were,
the shades were identical?
I gotta tell you, I don't know if they're identical. I just know it's the three weird colors next to each other, and that seemed very peculiar to me. Hey, Emily, 29, Boston.
How's it going?
Good, Matt.
Hi, Emily.
Hi. So I live on a second floor. We have a utility closet with a hot water heater and like basically 8-foot space. And the when it snows really bad, it causes ice dams on the top of the roof that's exposed there, and it goes down into our downstairs neighbor's kitchen and causes a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
So we ripped out to the drywall was there, so it's just the boards and a space where it goes to the roof, and you can see daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Re-insulated. But because it's such a small space, the guy's like, well, it needs the spray foam insulation, but we're going to have to charge you the minimum because that's just what we charge. So I was hoping that there was another option, maybe.
Well, Hilti and many companies make cans of spray foam now. You know, I don't know how big the space is, but it seems to me you could go to Home Depot and buy 5 cans of industrial Hilti spray foam. Make sure you get the right stuff. They have like structural stuff now that you don't really need, but and then just spray it up yourself. And
okay,
keep in mind that spray foam, it ain't toothpaste. It's not like you use it and put the cap back on it and use it the next day.
You spray it and the can's dead.
Once you bust the hymen on that, it's done. So find other places to spray that stuff on your last can, because once you start that can, you cannot restart it a week later when something else comes around.
And it expands rapidly, so make sure that you are aware of that. It's going to pop out in any unsealed cavern that doesn't have a top or bottom on it.
Right. Does that sound – well, it's not going to help with your ice dam, but how big physically is the area that needs the foam insulation?
Let me look at his notes. It says axle blocking, 8-foot slope enclosed above front wall, 6-inch closed cell spray foam over rafters. And then
they have rigid foam over the rafters?
I assume so.
Yeah, what do you call it? What they call the foam over the rafters? Yeah. Emily?
8-foot slope enclosed above front wall, 6-inch closed cell spray foam over spray.
Closed cell spray foam.
Yeah. All right. I don't know how big this area is, and maybe it's nuts to do it can by can, but I think you could do it.
Okay.
And I don't know, what are these guys, what's their minimum cost for coming in and spraying that foam?
Oh, it's $1,500.
Oh, no. We're talking $40.
Get
double the foam and then throw the cans at the guy when he shows up at the door.
Look that up. All you people, look that up. I'm not, obviously you can't do a whole house, but you could do a bay with it if you wanted to. Right. And, the cans are $7 a can or whatever it is, and you could buy 15 cans, and there's your saving.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about Geico. That's right, Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up the milk, put out the dog, take in the cat. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance to your list of things to do? Just go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. It's the most rewarding thing you do all day. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Gary, what did you find? Did you find anything with that color bar?
Here's a side-by-side for you.
Oh, very interesting.
A little different, but same.
Your BMW is a little weird. I mean, it's a little metallic or something. I'm trying to think. But let me see the big color bar. Yeah, see, if you look at the one that's at the bottom, bottom left or middle, that one.
Yeah, it's close. Yeah, it's close.
The purple's different. Yeah. Let me see the full color bar thing. Right. So I was looking at this color bar, and it goes from green to red and to purple. The purple's probably the furthest off, but it does.
I think someone's contemplating an M car is what I think.
Maybe that was it. I just was looking at it going, is that where they got it? Because I've always wanted to know. And it seems like it wouldn't hold up in court, but it is kind of reminiscent of it. I mean, if I was going to, if I was staring at this color bar and I went, those three in a row look good, I would simply change the hue a little and the order a little and I'd have my badging.
I could also make an argument that the gray on the right could play some tricks with your mind, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Because the gray is what references the M.
The M, right.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's true. The red is on. The blue needs to be darker, and the purple's different. Yeah. But it just hopped my mind. All right. Go ahead there,
Hey, Stromer. Danner Boots, by the way, born from logging and exploration. Danner is a Pacific Northwest original. Now, every boot is handmade to hold up in unforgiving conditions. The Stronghold Work Boot, 85 years of legendary quality and durability, meets modern construction technology and materials.
It's more boot than you guys need.
Well, it's so handsome that it's going to make people stop and stare, right?
Yes.
Tomorrow's classic today.
That's
right. The Stronghold Work Boot. Find your local store at Danner, DANNER.com. Danner.com.
All right. Let's see. This Tuesday, Phoenix, Grand Canyon University. It'll be me and Dennis Prager. No Safe Spaces. We'll be up on stage.
Don't miss that, because that's a good man to be with, Dennis Prager.
Very.
Yep.
A lot of little something called wisdom.
Yep.
Something that's in short supply these days.
I like how he thinks things out, process things around. You guys have similar brains.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Have the same brain in a totally different environment that we grew up in.
Yeah.
Live stand-up, that's March 2nd, Thunder Valley Casino in Sacramento. And Thursday, March 15th, Oxnard Levity Live. We'll be doing a best basic cable commentary. It must be seen and experienced. That's all I can say. The podcasting masterclass at CorollaClass.com and Chassis with all the movies. And we got our cruise coming up September 14th. You just go on to the Royal Caribbean's Explorer.
Ooh.
It's got a climbing.
Seafaring.
It's got a rock wall in the middle of the ocean.
How do you do
it? And one of those surfer things. And I will be on one of those endless waves. I guarantee everyone, I shall be on that thing.
Yeah.
And if you can bring a beer on that surfboard, I shall have that with me as well. So it's the CorollaFanCruise.com. Stromer, what do you got?
I'm doing a couple episodes of The Doctors as a resident expert on home improvement and how it pertains to health issues. So that should be fun. Me and Dr. Travis talking about stuff.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.